Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Tonight, starting at verse 26, and I'm just going to read that to you on my wife's electronic Bible. So it's Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26. And this is a story of Philip and the Ethiopian. And it goes a little bit like this. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out. And on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Thank you. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for your word. And I pray, Lord, that as we share some of my thoughts of your word, I just pray, Lord, for less of me and more of you. And open our hearts and our ears to what you want us to hear. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now I'm told there's a little slide photograph. Oh yeah, can you see that? Stephen and I go back a long way, as he's just said. And over the years we've had a little bit of only banter, sometimes brutal, only banter about him being Scottish and me being English. And, and me being English. And we have had a few challenges along the way, and it's all been good-natured. But I have recently discovered that my ancestral roots are indeed Scottish. And apparently, and it's on my bucket list to visit, there is a little village just outside of Perth called Gask Village. And somebody's done one of those ancestry things and gone back generations, and that's where my family name originates from. Because initially I thought my surname was a derivative of French, from Gascony in France, and I am so glad I am not French. So thank you for that, Izzy. You're a star. So on to this passage. As an evangelist, and therefore I'm a bloke who I believe has been called to tell someone about their Saviour. This passage from Acts has to be one of the most evangelistic stories in the Bible. And I think it's not just one of the most powerful stories of witnessing in the New Testament, but it's a perfect example of obedience and willingness to do what God asks. So I really do believe that God is involving me in his plan, which takes me all over these lands doing just that with Christian Vision for Men. That at the moment being what I consider to be the best boat for me to which I am to fish. And this is the plan in many ways, which is also used by Jesus and Philip. So I'm going to open with a question. Do you know what that plan is for you? And are you willing to join me and Stephen and so many other people in this wonderful church? And by the way, thank you for making us feel so welcomed and feeling so blessed. But are you willing to get involved with that to make that happen? And in almost 10 years as Christian Vision for Men's Regional Director for England North, although I pretty much go south, west and east as well, I've pretty much heard every excuse under the sun as to reasons why we don't or even won't readily share our faith. And amongst those excuses are possible persecution in whatever format that may take. I've heard the excuse, I'm too busy. Well, it's a bit inconvenient. I'm not equipped to do it. Surely it's someone else's responsibility. It's not my job, it's his job. But aren't we all commanded by Jesus to do just that? And at the end of Matthew's Gospel in chapter 28, which we know as the Great Commission, we're told, we're commanded to do it. And aren't we also told by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10 that the onus is on us to tell them? Because if we don't tell them, then who will? And I am not standing in judgment over anyone because I've used these excuses and many more myself. So how's your evangelism? And I'm reminded of the story about some church members who were going door to door in their area and passing on information about their church and, of course, about Jesus. Anyway, they knocked on one door and it was opened by a very irate lady who made it clear that she was not interested, and she promptly slammed the door shut. Has that ever happened to you? Anyway, no sooner had she slammed the door, it sprung open again. Now she's really angry and she slammed it shut a second time. And it immediately sprang open once more. Now, thinking that the very much unwanted visitors on her doorstep had discreetly lodged their foot in the doorway, summoning all her strength, she promptly slammed it shut again. And sure enough, it opened again to reveal said church members still standing there. And as she was about to launch into a tirade of abuse, one of the smiling Christians on the doorstep said, "Madam, before you do that again, you really ought to move your cat." So this morning I want to introduce you to this bloke named Philip. And when I first read this passage, I immediately thought, I want to be like Philip. He was a man who was on fire for Jesus. And before this passage, just to put it into context, the relatively new established church is undergoing severe persecution. And Saul is on the hunt, causing all, as we read in this chapter earlier, to all but the apostles were scattered. So our Philip is off to Samaria, not to hide until things calm down, because he has the opportunity to openly and without fear proclaim the Messiah. And we're told that they all paid close attention to what he was saying, with the net result being, so there was great joy in that city. As Stephen said earlier, I herald from Leicester in the Midlands. And wouldn't it be great if there was great joy in my home city? And I'm not talking about football. I'm definitely not talking about football. In fact, wouldn't it be great if there was great joy here in Falkirk too? Or wherever you hailed from. Can you imagine the newspaper headlines if there was a huge revival here in your village, your city or town? Anyway, right after Philip has been used by God to do that in Samaria, he's buzzing. I'm sure, as we read in Ephesians 6, that Philip has got his full set of God's armour on, and he's equipped, and he's ready for what comes next. And as we read in this passage, an angel appears to him and sends him on a mission. And thankfully, Philip doesn't have to knock on doors, and he doesn't get the door slammed in his face. And the guy he talks to isn't angry or offended. Instead, the man Philip talks to is eager to hear about Jesus and even asks to be baptized. He doesn't have to be talked into it. And of course, that man goes away rejoicing. How many of us would sign up to talk to someone about Jesus if we thought that would be the result every time? I know I would. And in this passage, I believe the answer is there. In a nutshell, God sent Philip to that eunuch. Philip went to the eunuch. Philip studied with him, and Philip led him to that relationship with his Saviour. Ladies and gents, it's as easy as that. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. If only. Because it's only a story, right? There's no way that either you or I could possibly have that effect, is there? A retired cop from the Midlands, with all my faults, and believe me, I've got many, as my wife now gives me that look. Someone like me being used for something as amazing as that and leading another person to their saviour. How many times have I said to God, I can't do that? And his answer, I know you can't, but I can. And I tell you why. Because this passage from Acts, I believe, is a brilliant biblical model. So let's have a look at what it is. Firstly, and most importantly, and I can't stress this enough, and we've heard this several times already, and you can't say this enough, pray. I tell you now, Philip and the crew are praying like there's no tomorrow. And let's remember that it was God who made what happened in Acts 8 happen. So I just ask, how's your prayer life? How's my prayer life? Philip was right with God. He was primed and ready for what God wanted him to do. So are you, or indeed myself, in that right place with God, and therefore completely open and ready for what God has planned for us? And I was reminded of an event I went to in 2019 with another ministry I'm involved in called Edge Ministries. And we went to a conference down in Taunton in Somerset, which is a good drive from here. And when we got there, we were asked right at the last minute, Sue and I were asked if we would be part of the prayer ministry team, because somebody had let them down and they just needed somebody to make the numbers up. And we agreed. And on the very first night, we were worshipping, and I was overcome with this sensation of God saying to me, "You're no good to me in the situation you're in, because I can't use you." And we were chatting last night to the team over a superb meal about that particular time, and certainly myself, I was full of anger and bitterness. And God said, "I can't use you like that. I need you to give me that." And I had to get on my knees and give him my anger and my bitterness and all those feelings that I felt before I was ready and primed to do what he wanted me to do that week. So before we can be any use to God, we've got to get ourselves in that place and remove all those barriers. And there's tons of them, bitterness and anger, and the list is endless, pride, whatever it is which separates us from him. And we need to get our armour on, folks, and we need to keep it on. In my car, I've got a hands-free gizmo for my phone, which works by being tuned in to a spare radio frequency. And it's set for 104.6 FM, and it works perfectly. However, if it's on 104.5 or 104.7, I get nothing. So likewise, are you fully tuned in? Or do you need a little bit of tweaking and fine tuning? I know I do. Verse 26 of this passage says, "The Lord's angel said to Philip, 'Go south along the desert road.'" Some translations use the phrase "wilderness road." And take it from me, that road from Jerusalem to Gaza would have been a very dangerous place, as it sure is now. And the potential risk to Philip's safety would have been very real. But he didn't say, "Really? You expect me to go down there?" He didn't say that. He just went. The Spirit told Philip to catch up with the chariot. Philip didn't do any of this on his own. Both an angel and the Spirit of God guided him in what he was to do. And too often we don't include God, do we? How often have I made plans and then given them to God? So where's your desert road? Or your wilderness road? And yes, I have been to Liverpool. If you're from there, I do apologise. And it may be that your wilderness road could actually be the road in which you live. A couple of years ago, I was with some of my Christian Vision for Men colleagues up in the northeast, and we were staying in the centre of Newcastle on the quayside there. And on the Saturday morning, we were due to attend an event in nearby Gateshead. So me and my very good mate and brother in Christ, Michael Cooper, decided to walk there and use that as an opportunity to prayer walk to our destination, which was at a Salvation Army premises there. And if you know that part of the world, when we negotiated a series of tunnels and walkways under the busy main roads, I was staggered by the change in our surroundings. We went from what was an area by the quayside in Newcastle, which appears to be very affluent, and there's been a lot of rejuvenation to the area. Went from that to boarded up shops, graffiti and litter. It was as though it had been forgotten. And whilst there were not many people about, as to be fair, it was about 6:30 in the morning, those we did see, they looked down, They looked oppressed. They looked lost and forgotten. And if I'm honest, it did feel a little bit intimidating. Do you have an area like that near you? I know I do. Could that be your desert place or your wilderness road? So back to the passage. Verse 30 says, Philip ran up close. Now this really got me thinking. Firstly, Philip ran up to the chariot. There was that sense of urgency, and such was his enthusiasm and obedience to God that he didn't just shout, excuse me, Mr. Eunuch, could I have a word? He just ran up to him. And here's this man, as we read, he was the chief treasurer for Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. So he's clearly a man of very high status, and as the finance minister of the royal court, he was quite an important fella. And he's on a dangerous wilderness road, which was no doubt notorious for robberies and the like, when out of nowhere this random bloke comes running up to his chariot. Now, we don't know this, but I feel sure that such an important man would have had some guards with him for protection. So if that was the case, I guess that Philip potentially could have been run through with a spear or a sword without any questions. But that didn't stop him, did it? And why a eunuch, I asked myself. And I reckon that was because the gospel is for all. And Jesus breaks down all social, racial and ethnic barriers. He was from a completely different culture to Philip. He was from a completely different social class. He was someone with a very different financial status too. And I bet he supported Manchester United as well. But above all, I believe that the eunuch is using this unequivocally to stress that Jesus is for everyone, regardless. And to emphasise this, culturally, a castrated male, which was seen as a physical defect, eunuchs were not allowed to participate fully in Israel's religious life. So thank you, Zondervan, for that pearl of wisdom. And this comes as a timely reminder to us all that despite everything, you or I will never look someone in the eye whom God does not love. And I really do believe it's important to be reminded of that. Verse 30, Philip ran up close and heard the man reading aloud from the book of Isaiah. At the risk of being accused of being judgmental again, too often we as Christians think that church growth happens because people drop into church. We don't really go to their house or invite them to ours to talk about Jesus. Instead, we invite people to church. We have different events and initiatives designed to entice people through the door. And whilst I'm not knocking those efforts, as I do acknowledge that it does work some of the time, I would argue that it's not the most effective way to reach people for Christ. I heard this quote on this very subject, which as a former police officer, I found this really good. And it was, a church that is waiting for sinners to visit their building is like the police waiting for criminals to visit their station. So if it's not the most effective method of evangelism, why do churches wait for outsiders to visit their building? And I'm speaking generally, of course. Is it because it's easier, less scary or demanding? I really do think that the way we should go about things should be in this order. Belong, believe, behave. Too often we seem to get that the wrong way round. And dare I say that often we, as a church, have the belonging bit last. Because to be fair, it is a little scary going out to those desert places or wilderness roads. It's difficult to talk to people about Jesus, isn't it? And to give you a little more detail on this, I'm going to again refer to the northeast once more. So I love it when I see a bloke from wherever it is in the country, very much out on the front line doing this sort of stuff. And there were a bunch of blokes in the Wetherspoons, naturally, on a Saturday morning in Gateshead, having one of their famous carbohydrate overdose fry-ups, you know, with the three hash browns and the slices of toast. And you could see that people were very conscious of what we were doing there. To be fair, it may have had something to do with the Christian Vision for Men banners, which said introducing men to the church and the church to men. But it really did lift my heart when I saw the area coordinator for that area, another great mate and brother of mine, Michael Bushby, and others, talking about what they were doing and why. I believe that God says this: you make yourself available to me and I'll do the rest. You could be the final piece of the jigsaw in enabling that person's puzzle to become complete so he can meet with his Saviour. You could be the very first piece in that person's journey. You could be a piece in the middle of their puzzle. Wherever your piece goes doesn't matter, does it? But your piece has got to come out of the box to be used. Make yourself available to me and I'll do the rest. Isn't that what Philip did on that road from Jerusalem to Gaza? He got himself in tune with God. He had his arm on and was buckled up and was battle ready. He made himself available. He was obedient. And Jesus often used stories in which he reminded us that we should be childlike, not childish. And can you imagine what it would be like if we approached this evangelism thing with the enthusiasm of a child? And I'm going to bring this into land shortly, but I read of a story of a couple with a 3.5-year-old child who moved into a new area, and early one morning their toddler ran in their bedroom to wake them up. His mother dressed him and sent him out to play to stop bothering them. About 20 minutes later he came running back yelling, "Mummy, Mummy, everybody has doorbells and they all work." It was fun, it was challenging, and it was something he could do. All he had to do was push doorbells. He could do that. And in the same way, what I'm suggesting is simple, effective, and of course, it can be fun too, if we do it right. We just go and are commissioned to do so. And we read that the eunuch was reading from the book of Isaiah. And since he'd gone to Jerusalem to worship, he's more than likely begun that journey with Jesus, although he doesn't quite understand what it's all about. So Philip studies the Bible with the eunuch in the chariot. And I don't think that Philip was some amazing theologian with his "I've got a master's degree in theology" on his t-shirt. So Philip began at this place in the scriptures and explained the good news about Jesus. And what struck me about this was that Philip started at a place where the eunuch was. He didn't say, "When you get back to Ethiopia, you need to get yourself down to your local church and they'll explain it to you." He didn't do it that way. He simply told him about Jesus. So time is of the essence, folks. I don't know where that person you speak to, I don't know where that person's going to end up. That's not my concern. Make yourself available to me and I'll do it. And I just want to end in a short prayer, if I may. And I'm going to use a passage from Isaiah for this prayer. After this, I heard the Lord ask, "Is there anyone I can send? Will someone go for us?" "I'll go," I answered. "Send me." Lord, open our hearts to you and say, "Use me, Lord. Send us to those desert places and put those people before us who we know are desperate to hear about you. Give us Philip's enthusiasm and boldness that we too may be used to share the good news of you in those places. That good news, which is far too good to keep to ourselves. Lord, come by your Spirit and fill us afresh. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen."
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.